This is Scenic Roots, this afternoon, live in the studio on the second floor of the public library downtown. We have a set by a quartet that is defined as much by what they are as what they are not. A touchstone for the band is the New Orleans drummer Stanton Moore and his band. And like New Orleans musicians often do, this quartet plays music in a range of styles from across several decades. The Moon Change Quartet features Amanda Ross Cagle playing piano, Given Graber playing bass, Nathan Shue on drums, and Gordon Inman playing the clarinet. From the Chattanooga Public Library on Scenic Roots, this is the Moon Change Quartet.
All right, that's a standard Manhattan Carnival, often known as Black Orpheus, named after the movie from which it derives, occasionally known as A Day in the Life of the Fool. We're now going to do a tune by a local singer-songwriter and a dear friend of mine, Robin Grant. This is from her first album entitled Good Girl. The name of the tune is Waking Up.
That was interesting. I was looking at Amanda's notations.
The lead sheet, yeah.
Lead sheet, yeah. So most of the time I recognize the tune, but she had up at one point My Funny Valentine, and it sounded like to me that you were playing Just a Closer Walk with Thee, which is kind of an interesting juxtaposition when you think about it, of those two titles.
Hmm.
So I guess to put that in the form of a question, what was your concept when you first started thinking about it? Doesn't seem right to call it a band, an ensemble, right?
Well, we refer to ourselves as a quartet, jazz quartet.
Well, that's what you are, right? Yeah,
jazz quartet. The idea really came from the fact that we were all kind of sitting home in quarantine. And there was, I got an email from an institution that usually hired a larger band I'm a part of that hasn't been together for a year. And I told them, I have a quartet we could use if you want. And that's how I lied my way into having a jazz quartet. So it's made up of a bunch of friends who like playing together. And we call ourselves a jazz quartet, but as you heard, putting in Robin Grant's music, putting in Waking Up, felt natural.
So how does Robin come into this? Her name keeps coming up. Amanda was asking me if I'd seen Robin.
Yeah.
Are you playing with Robin?
Robin has allowed me to play with her a few times. Yeah, and I love it every time.
Oh, I can imagine.
And it really just boils... well, Given has become her regular bassist.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a cool idea.
Oh, yeah.
But for you, that's kind of interesting because you're in basically the same range she's in, right? Playing the clarinet.
Now that you mention it, yeah.
So it's a little different for you, I guess, than it would be for, say, Given,
yeah.
who's playing behind her. You're sort of playing a juxtaposition with her, aren't you?
You know, now that you mention that, she has a wonderful lower range and actually starts off the song Waking Up in her lower range. And without thinking about it, that's what I did on clarinet. And yes, it does emulate her sound very well.
I kept thinking, so who do I know that plays the clarinet? And almost everybody I could think of is from another generation.
Yeah.
You know, I think Pee Wee Clayton was a clarinetist with the Ellington's band.
Yep.
And, of course, Benny Goodman and Artie Shaw and these people.
Right.
What happened to the clarinet? It seems like it's not a rock and roll instrument, is it? So as rock and roll became dominant, the clarinet was kind of sidelined.
I'll tell you what, I kind of have a theory about this. And this is less about the celebrity of clarinet players and more about its presence in pop culture. Because the clarinet was actually the most populated instrument in concert bands, in schools, up until around the time we started playing, frankly. And it has shrunk since then. And you almost never hear about it, that kind of thing. And I realized something. The most popular clarinet player in the 21st century is a fictional character who does not play it well. And in case you don't know who I'm talking about Squidward from SpongeBob SquarePants. Kids have been watching SpongeBob SquarePants for 20 years. It's been on that long. And while most people love that character, it's not necessarily the kind of character you want to be associated with. And as a matter of fact, there's some advertising science behind this. If you remember the cute little chihuahua that was on the Taco Bell commercials in the 90s, everybody loved that dog, and Taco Bell's sales absolutely plummeted during that. So they had to retire the chihuahua.
You're kidding.
I'm
Why?
Not. Well, it was because it was the association.
What is it that people don't like chihuahuas?
Well, I don't know. You love the dog, but maybe you don't want to eat at the restaurant where the dog is on the commercials. I don't know.
That's weird.
Quiznos kind of went through the same thing, but I do feel as though there's something about that association. No, so people do love the character Squidward, but you don't want to be compared to Squidward.
Right, right.
You know.
So don't play the clarinet because people will think you're Squidward.
Something like that.
Yeah. Weird.
On the other side of that, you know, the most famous flute player right now is Lizzo. So a very real person who is headlining Bonnaroo. And I haven't seen for sure whether this has her celebrity affected this, but I think I'm seeing more flute players in beginning band programs. Go figure.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize Lizzo was a flute player. I knew her as a singer, but I didn't know she was a flute player. That's interesting.
Hmm.
Okay, so... All right, let's go take a few steps back then.
Sure.
So the four people in the band. Why don't you introduce the four people in the band?
Happy to. So the keyboard player is Amanda Cagle, who has been an incredible part of the Chattanooga music scene for long as anyone can remember, I think. But Given Graber, who just got married and took his wife's last name, love him for it, is our bass player. He's an Eastman-trained bassist who moved to Chattanooga, I believe, in 2017, and has become one of the go-to bass players for everyone around here, for obvious reasons. He's just a ton of fun to play with, very easy to play with, too. And speaking of easy to play with, Nathan Shue moved here from Muncie, Indiana. He was Jennifer Wilson, nay, Jennifer Arbogast's best friend. You're still her best friend, right?
Absolutely.
Good. and she essentially coaxed him to come down here. And he's a treasure who is, I think, just now being discovered in Chattanooga. Almost everybody plays with Given. Not everybody knows to play with Nathan yet. And I'm happy that we've gotten to play together here recently.
Well, I really like what you were doing, Nathan.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
It's always struck me as something of an irony that so often not very much attention is paid to the drummer. People tend to focus on the front line. And yet the drummer so often sets the sound of the band and the feel of the band, you know. And what you guys are doing, at least in this session anyway, you seem to be drawing on classic New Orleans, which is kind of interesting because the music that you're playing isn't classic New Orleans. So you've got this weird kind of juxtaposition of a style and a sound that are from different eras.
Yeah, I think it's fun to mix the different genres. And recently, Gordon and I did some recordings with the UTC Theater Department, some vaudeville style music. Yeah. So I studied a little bit of vaudeville drumming for that and kind of like love it. And then that fits so well with the clarinet. And so when I have a clarinet that I'm playing with, just that you know, 1920s kind of style sounds great. And then for the tune we did, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, like Gordon said, he was in the style of Doreen Ketchins, and I was playing somewhat a groove based off of Stanton Moore, who's a phenomenal New Orleans drummer.
I did not realize he was New Orleans based too. So Richard, you nailed it. Yeah, we were doing New Orleans style.
So that's just kind of where I've been musically recently. So that's what comes out when I play. Give it another year, who knows what I'll be playing, what style. It's for me, it's fun to play all the different styles I possibly can and mix them and mix and match however you can.
So then the answer to the question, what was the concept? It's more, and I think actually you answered it that way. It's four people coming together and playing, and it's almost as if it's a process of discovery as you play together.
I was going to say we're following our nose. That's essentially, yeah, that is how we are approaching this.
Which is great.
Well, thank you.
You know, for the listener, for you as players, where do you start on a given night? When you're rehearsing, when you're figuring out set lists or whatever, you know, what you're going to play, how do you decide what will or won't work for you?
Wow. I'm trying to remember how we really start. We usually start with things we're more comfortable with, you know, just some of the stuff we've been playing since the beginning. That's what we did today. Manhattan Carnival is just something we're all completely comfortable with.
The Moon Change Quartet, live in the library.
We're going to do the Errol Garner classic, Misty, in honor partially of the passing of the immortal Jessica Walter, who was in Clint Eastwood's classic. I hope the Chattanooga area is not tired of hearing this one yet. The Moon Change Quartet played it at Covenant College a few months ago, at the Chattanooga Theater Center earlier this month. My good friend Nathan and I played it at St. Luke's United Methodist only last week. And we're even doing an arrangement of it with strings in May, also at the Chattanooga Theater Center. Here is Misty. Thank you. Here is the classic tune, Strawberry Fields Forever, author unknown. We're now going to do the Michel Legrand classic, I Will Wait For You. It is culturally significant for both its original use in Jacques Demy's Umbrellas of Cherbourg and the episode of Futurama with the dog.
Let's talk about what you've played.
Sure. Okay. Yes.
So you played Black Orpheus.
Yes.
Misty.
Yes.
And a really nice arrangement of Misty. I don't know who writes these arrangements for you or if you write your own arrangements, but that's a beautiful arrangement.
Well, thank you.
I mean, that's close to being an overplayed song, probably for a long time.
Yeah.
So when you can find a way into a song that, as a listener, you say, never thought about it like that before, and then that melody comes alive again and you can listen to it again and it doesn't sound like, oh, not that again. And then Strawberry Fields Forever. So, you know, it's hard to think of a band, a quartet, an ensemble, whose set list includes Black Orpheus, Strawberry Fields Forever, Misty, and Just a Closer Walk with Thee. But then again, if one of your keystones is Stanton Moore, that's how New Orleans people play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Stanton's bands kind of sound like that too, like it, a lot of it's improv'd.
Yeah, that's a lot of what we do. I think we all trust each other so much as musicians. And when somebody starts doing something, Given will start playing a little different bass line, mm-hmm. and I go with it.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Gordon starts playing something else. I'm like, okay, let's do that now. Amanda plays something else. We just have a lot of trust and faith that we're going to make the right decisions.
Yeah.
And it's comfortable to know that what we're going to play is going to come across as something fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And the more fun that we have, you know, you can play your standard tunes, but if you just play it and trust that good things are going to happen and you have the freedom of three other people in your band that are not going to be upset with whatever you do because they trust you and you trust them, the audience is going to have a lot more fun that way.
Yeah. Perhaps I can answer my own question. It's not a band. It's four personalities.
Ooh.
You know, and each person has a very distinctive style. Amanda has a very distinctive style. You know, Amanda's a great player.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I've heard her, you know, play in so many different settings.
Yeah.
You know. And she has a delightful personality. And that comes through, too, in her playing, as it does with all of you.
Yeah.
So I guess, on the face of it, the parameters for this band are limitless.
Oh, I like the way you think. I do want to point something out, by the way, especially because Nathan and I are the ones who stayed back. Last fall, I music directed Dennis Parker's monologue play Southern Exposure, which was produced both on Signal Mountain and for WUTC.
Mm-hmm.
And the group was actually made up of three members of this. The Moonchange Quartet did not exist yet, but it was essentially these players. Nathan and I kind of knew this already, but we really discovered during that how much we both love pop music from the 1950s and 60s. For me personally, my brother and I were raised on GT108 or Oldies 107.9, depending on the year. So that was a huge part of our background, and it was a huge part of Southern Exposure, just because of the text. But that also led to some of the decisions we've made in some of these tunes. Since you pointed out that Misty was done differently, we kind of had the, if you know the instrumental Sleepwalking, we did something like that. That was pre-surf rock, but it was, what was that, steel guitar, lap guitar?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's used for that.
Steel guitar, I think, right? Yeah. Santo and Johnny, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And of course, we weren't emulating those sounds, but the 12-8 kind of feel, right? The compound meter seemed to work really well for Misty early on, and we just kind of kept that.
That's interesting. It never would have occurred to me, but now you say it, that makes a whole lot of sense. Peggy's plays, both of them are wonderful, I think. The first one was set in the 50s, and
yes.
The second one in the 60s.
That's one play, believe it or not.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, she pulled an Into the Woods, like for monologue plays. It's just a giant piece. But yeah.
And because I think we ran it as two separate plays, didn't we?
It was two months in a row, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Her words are just, yeah.
Oh.
And now you can't go, those of us who weren't alive when the Whole Note was open can't walk past the Whole Note building without thinking about one of those monologues. Or the pumping gas one that my dad did took place at the gas station that is now Universal Joint.
So, right. I know, that's so weird to see that.
Yeah.
For a long time, I couldn't tell if it was still a working gas station or not, you know, and then all of a sudden it's gone and there's a restaurant there, which is cool. And that's a nice neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
But so Peggy wrote the play, and then she asked you effectively to play off the play.
Yes.
Right? To set the moods, to play pieces that would sort of evoke the period.
This is not going to surprise you at all, knowing Peggy, but she actually kind of gave me carte blanche. There were a couple of monologues where one particular song really worked, and actually Dennis gave me more prompts than Peggy did. But it was mostly just, no, do whatever you want, which I really appreciated.
So you have a play set in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
You have a history of having listened to that kind of music on the radio.
Yeah.
So you just dove back into your childhood.
Absolutely. And my brother is one of the most nostalgic people I've ever met in my life. So he often texts me nostalgia deep dives, you know, just to see if I remember this or that. So I was bouncing things off of him, too. Do you remember this song? Do you like this song? So we ended up getting a whole lot of the ones that were important to us, too. Yeah, that was a really good experience, come to think of it.
I can't say I've ever talked to a group of musicians who are operating as you are. It's kind of refreshing in its way, you know, because it seems like it's purely musical, you know? You didn't start saying, we're going to form a band because we want to play, I don't know, come up with a place that everybody wants to play.
Yeah.
Or make a lot of money or any of that. You know, it doesn't seem like any of those motivations are there. This is the motivation here is to find a way into music that's often been overplayed and make it again to where you hear it.
Hadn't thought of that. Yeah, that's accurate.
I also think part of it is just we've been locked away, not around anybody else, and we want to hang out with our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're musicians, what we want to do with our friends is make music with them.
Yeah.
And
while at the same time making music is kind of like a conversation, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a way to connect.
Absolutely.
And to socialize. That was what Gibbon was saying, you know, that he...
Yes.
I'm supposed to be the one that's good with the words. Musicians are often people who think in pictures. So when you have to verbalize it, they're challenged by that. And it always surprises me when I talk to Given and I realize that he sometimes has trouble expressing how he feels by saying it, you know? So what I was getting from what he was saying, though, was that he is a very much an extrovert, so he draws a lot of energy from being around other people. And he hasn't had the opportunity to be around a lot of people for over a year, and it's really messed with his head. And that this is an opportunity for him to feel again as if he's connected.
Right.
Is that true for all of you? Do you all kind of feel that way?
I hadn't thought of this until you said it. We're all really extroverted. And, you know, Ben Van Winkle plays with us all the time. We play with him. He's one of our dearest friends. He's very extroverted. That may also have to do with why we were all chomping at the bit to get together and play. Because we've really missed the social interaction and the musical collaboration, the playtime.
Which is of a piece in many ways.
Oh, yeah.
Right, the two. So what's the plan then? Is it possible to plan gigs yet, or are people still kind of leery about that?
Well, we've been talking brunch for a while here, whenever brunch is uncancelled.
Well, it's not, you know, the conversations I had with so many musicians last summer, the people who were playing at Nightfall, doing virtual performances, was that people were still booking them, but they wanted them to play outside.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a number of places, if you're talking about brunch, there's a number of places in town where they serve brunch where you could probably play outside.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you too, and this is really Given's news, but he does want people to know about this. Given really wants to reinvigorate the jazz scene in Chattanooga, and he has a lot of ideas of how to do that. So hopefully, here in the next little bit, a whole lot of places are going to be hosting jazz nights and things like that. I think especially, you know, people talked about the Roaring Twenties coming back in this century and getting back into that.
Yeah.
So I think people want to hear that anyway.
That's interesting. You know? I wouldn't have thought of putting those two together, but it makes a whole lot of sense. I was just telling Given about the big band, and if I were Bruce, I'd offer you guys a residency, you know, and do a show once a month, because you sound so good in there. And
premiere was pretty spectacular, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
it was great.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how many members in that band.
That's a 20-ish piece band.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Such good musicians too, all of you. You know.
Yeah.
But I guess that presents its own set of challenges when you have that many people playing, huh?
That's the truth. Yeah.
So the quartet offers you maybe more flexibility in terms of doing what you're talking about doing, which is, I guess, just playing for people and introducing them to this music you're making.
I believe so. Mm. Also, especially as things are opening back up, I know a lot of people are going to be wary of seeing that large a group, especially of mostly people blowing wet air out, you know. The premiere, you know, kind of needed to do a virtual concert first. We're going to close out with the classic, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, in our own personal style. Now, if any discerning listener hears the opening clarinet line and wants to accuse a certain clarinet player of plagiarism, I do want to make it known I have Queen Clarinet Doreen Ketchin's express permission to use her signature opening. Thank you all for listening today.
The Moon Change Quartet, Amanda Rose Cagle playing piano, Given Graeber playing bass, Nathan Shue is the drummer, and Gordon Inman playing clarinet. Recorded live in the library in the state-of-the-art recording studio on the second floor of the Chattanooga Public Library in downtown Chattanooga on a Wednesday afternoon. All of these sessions are scheduled for Wednesday afternoons. They feature primarily Chattanooga-based musicians and bands, but not exclusively. All of the sessions are engineered and mixed by Sam Mensah. The executive producers for Live in the Library are me, Richard Windham, for WUTC, and Sam for the Library. And we will have another session recorded live in the library here on Scenic Roots next Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. So we have a few minutes left, and earlier, if you were listening to the conversation with Gordon and the Moonchange Quartet, Gordon was talking about playing with my friend Robin Grant and also including one of her songs in their sets. They didn't play it today, but this is the song he was talking about. This is Robin Grant with her band, The Standard, a song called Waking Up. Can't get enough. Ooh.
I just can't get enough when you wake me up.